pay into the system your whole working life, but are you taking steps to maximize your Social Security benefits? I'm Rob West. Most people don't save enough to live on their retirement investments alone and depend heavily on Social Security. Many don't realize that the level of their benefits isn't set in stone. I'll give you some ways to maximize yours, then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise Live, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, there's no question that Social Security benefits have become far more important to the average retiree than was ever intended, but many workers fail to make the most of them. Retirees are far more dependent today on a system that was only designed to provide 40% of retirement income. One reason for that is due to the changing landscape of retirement over the years. In 1935, when the program was introduced, pensions were common and provided guaranteed retirement income for as long as you lived. One reason employers no longer provide pensions is because the average lifespan of Americans has increased considerably over the years. In 1935, it was around 60 years. Today, it's more like 79 years. The result is Americans now need many more years of retirement income. And studies show that if workers were allowed to conservatively invest the same amount of money they contribute to Social Security, they'd be far ahead at retirement. But that's not the case. Most workers are bound into the Social Security system, and that means you need to make the most of your potential Social Security benefits. I say potential because decisions you make can raise or lower those benefits. There are actually many things you can do. Some of them are fairly complex and only apply to certain people. But here are five that everyone should be able to do. First, make sure you work a full 35 years. That's because the Social Security Administration uses your highest 35 years of earnings to determine your level of benefits. Any years less than 35 count as zeros and lower your benefits. If you work more than 35 years, each additional year of higher earnings replaces one of lower earnings, and the net result is a higher monthly benefit. The second tip is to actually work more as you near retirement. After age 60, your earnings count more, and they have a greater positive impact on your benefits. Sometimes people scale back work as they near retirement, but that can lower your benefits. So if possible, work more hours after age 60 until you retire, not fewer. Number three, we talk about a lot, delay benefits until you reach at least your full retirement age, which for most people working today is 66 or 67. Every year that you delay benefits beyond your full retirement age increases your benefits by about 8%. And every year after age 62 that you elect to receive benefits, but before your full retirement age, will cost you 8% in benefits. Let's say you're eligible to receive $2,000 a month at age 66. By waiting until age 70 to receive benefits, that monthly amount would increase to $2,640, a 32% gain. Obviously, you have to live long enough to get the increase, but remember, people are living much longer these days. Number four is for married couples. Delay your benefits while claiming those of your spouse. If you and your spouse both work and have reached full retirement age, claim spousal benefits, but let the benefits based on your own work record continue to grow until you reach age 70. And tip number five is watch out for taxes on your Social Security benefits. If you continue to work after you begin receiving benefits, anywhere from 50 to 85% of those benefits could be counted as taxable income. The IRS uses a fairly complicated formula to determine what percentage of your Social Security income is taxable, but in simple terms, the more you can spread out income from other sources, the better off you'll be. It's also a good idea to consult with a financial advisor on the best ways to minimize your tax liability during retirement. A certified Kingdom advisor can help you do that, and you can find one by going to MoneyWise.org and clicking Find a CKA. So those are some things you can do to maximize your Social Security benefits. But remember, Social Security is a very poor substitute for investing as much as you can in a qualified retirement plan like a 401k or IRA. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we're just getting started on MoneyWise Live. Stick around.
We can't put on things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify.
It's been totally
that.
Verified.
No.
And you know that, but you just don't want to
no.
put it on the air.
As a matter of fact, I don't know that.
Okay.
I really believe she doesn't know. I believe she really doesn't know that Hunter Biden's laptop has been verified. I don't think she knows. So she spreads her ignorance out to the audience of CBS, and this is how we've gotten into this mess.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Hey, we're in a new studio today, so we're going to use the normal AFR number, the number you're used to calling in on for the other programs. Today only, 888-589-8840 with your calls and questions on anything financial. We started today by talking about Social Security, always a topic that gets a lot of questions as folks try to navigate managing their Social Security benefits, and we'll certainly take your calls on that topic today. But as we turn the corner, we want to deal with any financial topic you have on your mind today through a biblical lens, helping you to be a wise and faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Today only, be calling 888-589-8840. And also coming up on the broadcast today, I'll weigh in on what I'm calling giving that God honors and giving that honors God. You know, as we look to the scriptures, we see some big ideas around our generosity. How should we be thinking about our giving? What are some of the things we can pull out of scripture that really can inform and guide us in our generosity journey? I'll pull out some things today that I think, as we consider our giving, will be helpful to you in a way that honors the Lord through your giving. I'll also weigh in today with seven qualities of a disciplined investor. You know, in these volatile times, it can be challenging to stay focused on our long-term investment plan. What are some of those qualities of a disciplined investor that we need to have? That plus your emails and, of course, your phone calls today at 888-589-8840, today only. Let me begin today with a couple of emails. These came in recently and give us an opportunity to weigh in on them. Grace writes to us and says, I'm working on my last will and testament. I have no children or beneficiaries. How do I figure out what or who to leave my finances to? And Grace, it's a great question as we think about this last stewardship decision that we will make as believers. It's really the wealth transfer decision. By the way, if this is a topic you're interested in exploring, I would say to you that it is there's a great resource for you to look at for this topic. It's called Splitting Heirs by my friend Ron Blue, and I believe it's the very best resource, not on the mechanics, the technical side of wealth transfer, but really the thinking behind the wealth transfer that you're going to do. How much to leave to the kids? Who do you leave it to? What are the principles that you should be thinking about as you navigate the wealth transfer decision? All of those things really are unpacked in this book, Splitting Heirs. But Grace, what I would say to you is there's really only three places you can leave the assets and the resources that God has entrusted to you. The first is the government. The second is heirs as an inheritance. Or the third is charity or ministry. And if you don't have children, you don't have beneficiaries, there's no one that you're looking to leave this to as an inheritance, then I would say it's an incredible opportunity to think about aligning your passions, your gifting, with the heart of God. As you think about taking what God has entrusted to you, and as you go home to be with the Lord, then you entrust that to the care of a ministry that's doing God's work. And what an incredible opportunity. And you can do that through, of course, your will. And I think everyone needs a valid will. Unfortunately, so many do not have one. But also through named beneficiaries, Grace, on your investment accounts, which will pass outside of probate and can pass directly to the individual that you'd like. You can contact our friends at the National Christian Foundation. They can help you identify some great ministries you may want to bless with your estate at ncfgiving.com. I would use an estate attorney to determine exactly how to go about putting that will together. But what a blessing that will be. By the way, if you're looking for income in this season of life, another way to think about this is through a charitable gift annuity. And our friends at American Family Radio could help you with that as well. But so thankful for your question today. Let's take one from Marie. And Marie writes, we regularly tithe $600 a month to the church. My cousin, who's divorced and struggling, is about to have surgery and is in need of finances. Can we give 3 months of our giving to my cousin? And I would say this is, it's wonderful that you want to help your cousin in a difficult time. We are quick to say that the tithe really should go to the local church. Our friend J.D. Greer, pastor of Summit Church in North Carolina, calls this God's plan A. And we certainly see in Acts 2 and 4 that the believers were bringing their offerings to the elders in Jerusalem. So here's my question to you, Marie, as you think about this. What about making this an adventure with God? You know, there's nothing wrong with giving to help someone in need. In fact, we're clearly admonished to do that in Scripture. So giving to the church, yes, absolutely. Giving to help someone who's struggling, of course. The question is, you know, should we alternate one or the other, or should we try to do both? What if you were to say for a season, you know what, I'm going to reorder my finances. I want to demonstrate my trust and dependence in the Lord. So I'm going to stay committed to my tithe to the local church. And then beyond that, I'm going to make some adjustments and see how I might be able to, even sacrificially, be able to bless my cousin who's in need. And go on that adventure with God. See what happens. See what he does in your life as you're stretched spiritually. And see what happens even with the provision that comes into your home. See how God works in that situation. Now, at the end of the day, God doesn't need our money, and this is between you and him. And if you decided, you know what, for this season, I'm going to redirect some of my giving because the Lord's leading me in that way, I would say, absolutely. That's between you and God. But before you just quickly move to that decision, I would just love for you to really pray about it and see what you might be able to do to stretch during this season. You might find that when you look back, you'll see that God provided in unexpected ways. You might see that he deepened your faith as you walked through this journey with him together. And I suspect that over time, Marie, you might even be finding ways to reorder your finances so you can do even more because of the blessing and the joy that you got from being able to give in that way. But regardless of where you land, I'm delighted to hear that you want to think about handling money God's way and honoring God with your giving as you first give a tithe. And then beyond that, help someone in need. Thanks for writing to us today. By the way, folks, we'd love to hear from you in our MoneyWise community. We have a community both on the web at MoneyWise.org and in the MoneyWise app where folks are regularly posting questions every day and getting responses from others in the MoneyWise community as well as our MoneyWise coaches. And some of those questions even make their way on the air. If you'd like to post a question in our MoneyWise community, you can do that at MoneyWise.org. Just click the community button. You can also go into our MoneyWise app and post there as well. And we'd love to hear from you. Again, MoneyWise.org, and in your app store, just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. All right, we're going to be taking your calls and questions here after our next break. The number to call today only as we move into our new American Family Radio studios is 888-589-8840. It's the number you will typically call for all the other programs on this station that you're listening to, 888-589-8840. And then tomorrow we'll be back to our regular number. We're delighted you're here with us today. You know, folks, as we think about handling God's money, we want to do it wisely, which means we go back to God's Word to explore the Scriptures and apply the principles we see there, the timeless wisdom, to today's financial decisions and choices. Let's do that together. What's on your mind? Give us a call, 888-589-8840, and we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
There's a culture war raging in America, and like it or not, we're in the battle.
Sandy Rios, host of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for tuning in today to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 888-589-8840. A slightly different MoneyWise number today, although it is the number you're familiar with calling here on AFR. It's 888-589-8840. Today only, as we move into our new studios, we'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind today, financially speaking? Is it saving or giving? Perhaps it's investing, paying down debt. How do you think about that credit score, or maybe where we started today on Social Security? Maybe you're having some questions about how to maximize your Social Security benefits. Whatever it is, we'd love for you to get in on the conversation today. 888-589-8840. As you're managing your Social Security income, by the way, perhaps you'd like some financial counsel locally in your area to help with either investing or estate planning needs. Well, consider finding a local certified Kingdom Advisor. These legal, financial, and accounting professionals have completed a rigorous training program to give biblically wise financial advice as a part of their practice. And you can find a local CKA professional by going to moneywise.org and click the Find a CKA button on the homepage. All right. You know, often we talk about generosity. You know, I believe one of God's big ideas that really just jumps off the page as we look through the Council of Scripture and we think about handling his money is the idea that even more so than providing for our families, we have an opportunity to be connected to God's activity through our giving. Yes, we're to enjoy what we've been entrusted. That's clear in 1 Timothy. Yes, we're to provide for our families. But what about the opportunity to share with others? Well, we want to glorify God in all we do, and we point to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. And here at MoneyWise, we teach biblical principles related to money and possessions so you and I can glorify God in our financial journey. And clearly, one way we do that is through our giving. You know, folks, as children of a loving and generous Father, we reflect His character when we give. So we want to give in a way that honors the Lord. The question is, how do we do that? Well, I believe giving that honors God will be secret, generous, cheerful, loving, and sacrificial. And let me unpack that a bit. First, we see in God's word that giving should be in secret in many cases, certainly not showy. That way, the glory goes to the Lord, not to the giver. Jesus actually admonishes his followers in Matthew 6. He says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. But when you give to the needy, do not let your right hand know what your left is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret." I believe this comes down to a heart condition. What is your posture? Is it to have the accolades come to you, or is it to honor the Lord? Does that mean we're never to do giving in a public fashion? No, I don't think that's right. But I think we always need to be on guard with our hearts as to what is our ultimate motivation. And if it's to honor God, then that's the way we should conduct ourselves. Second, giving should be generous, not stingy. Consider 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Here's what it reads. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You see, what we have is not our own. It all belongs to God, whether it's time, talent, or treasure. We can always afford to be generous. The question is, how are we giving? And are we giving lavishly and generously, or are we being stingy? Something to think about today. All right, number three, giving should be done cheerfully, not reluctantly. The passage in 2 Corinthians goes on to say, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, having a cheerful attitude about giving could be a challenge for many of us. I know it has been for me in the past. And yet, we want to ask God to change our hearts in this area, to actually give us a generous spirit and give us the ability to hold what He has entrusted to us loosely. And I believe as we do that and we exercise that giving muscle, if you will, then we begin to experience the joy that comes with it. We're going to want more and more of that. Fourth, giving should come from love, not obligation. You see, giving that glorifies God springs from love for God and our neighbor. It's our opportunity to participate with Him in His activity. He invites us as a privilege into that through our giving, and it's an opportunity to help someone on our path, our neighbor, someone in need. And then finally, I believe giving should be sacrificial, not comfortable. Sacrificial giving makes us more like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." You see, sacrificial giving is a testimony that we trust God to meet our needs while we meet the needs of others. So giving that honors God should be secret, generous, cheerful, loving, and sacrificial. And believe me, there are incredible benefits to giving this way. You see, God gets the glory. In John 3:21, He says, "Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." We draw closer to the Lord as we respond in His leading. We become more like Christ, experiencing His love, joy, and peace. We have the pleasure of seeing God use us for good in the world, and most important, through our godly giving, we proclaim the good news of Jesus, the ultimate giver. Let me finish with Philippians 2, 6 through 8. He says, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And folks, I hope that was an encouragement to you today as you think about your giving. Perhaps you think about it differently today as an opportunity to participate with the Creator God. You see, we were made in His image. We're most like Him, I like to say, when we're giving. Our hearts get calibrated to His. So perhaps today, think and even pray about how you can do even more and say, "God, how can I order my finances in such a way that I can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in my giving to you as an act of worship and a demonstration of my trust and dependence ultimately on you?" All right, we're taking your calls just around the corner. We've got lines open, 888-589-8840 with any financial question. Call right now and we'll be right back on MoneyWise. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
They say actions speak louder than words. Here at the American Family Association, we take that to heart. AFA Action is here to inform and help you get involved in cultural and moral issues. You can also sign up for our AFA Action Alert, which will inform you about these issues every week by email. To sign up and for more information, visit us at afaaction.net.
Why are you still sitting there? If you want change, it starts with you.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today at 888-589-8840. As we think about handling God's money as stewards of His resources, there's really only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. That's right. Live is our lifestyle. It's really the primary determinant of whether we'll be able to save for the future. You know, how we live within God's provision is critical to being able to accomplish our other goals that really align with our values and our priorities. Well, that requires a spending plan, and God's Word has quite a bit to say about how we should live within our means. And then there's the giving we do. We talked about that a moment ago. There's the money we owe, namely for debt and taxes. How do we think about that? How do we reduce our debt over time? How do we get out of debt? What's the proper use of debt, and what should we stay away from? That's addressed in God's Word. And then finally, live, give, owe, and grow. That's the money we're saving for the future, beginning with our emergency fund of 3 to 6 months' expenses, and then saving for medium-term and long-term goals. In many cases, when we think about long-term savings, we're thinking retirement, that season where God may redirect us away from full-time work to some other opportunity to serve Him, or perhaps we're unable to work, whatever it might be. There's the opportunity to save so we can supplement our income in that season of life. Well, how do we do that in a way that honors God and balancing all of these competing priorities so that we can live responsibly and we can give generously and we can save diligently? What does that look like? How do you balance all of that? Well, we tackle that together with your questions on this program each day. Again, 888-589-8840. You know, folks, as we think about our long-term savings, our investments, certainly the volatility we've been experiencing in the stock market is weighing on so many of us, whether you're nearing retirement and thinking about perhaps I need to delay that, or maybe you're more long-term in your investments and you're concerned about how your investments are going to perform, whether you're going to meet your goals. We've certainly seen a lot of volatility and some significant downward pressure in the market. Well, how do you think about that as you apply your investment strategy? And I would say often really a rules-based strategy for investing is the most prudent because it requires self-discipline, but it also allows us to overcome our emotions and trust the plan And so often that really is critical when we think about our investing, because if we're especially handling our investments ourselves, oftentimes when we get caught up in the headlines and we see those negative numbers on the market and the Dow's down 1,000 points, it's not today, but it certainly has been recently, we can really get into a situation where we believe that we just need to get out. We need to exit the market altogether. And often that is exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. Those are seasons where, as long as we've got the right investment strategy and the right time horizon, we should be investing more, even dollar cost averaging in to take advantage of those lower prices. But what are some opportunities to grow in this area of self-discipline and biblical understanding when it comes to our investments? Well, here's a few ideas for what it looks like to be a disciplined investor. First, I would just say be humble. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with investing? Well, that means that we accept that there's nothing new under the sun, which we read in Ecclesiastes, and that the instructions God has given us in His Word have proven to be practical and effective. You know, there's safety in following the priorities and guidelines He's provided for our protection, and abandoning them can only mean we have more confidence in our own thinking than His. So how does that apply to our investing? Well, that means be long-term in your thinking. Don't try to, you know, speculate on something that's going to allow you to get rich quick. Be humble and be long-term in your focus. Second, be conscientious. You know, we must see ourselves as caretakers of what God has given us. Acknowledge that taking undue risks jeopardizes His wealth. We're not just in this for ourselves, but to responsibly increase our assets so we can provide for our families and give more generously. We want to play our part in taking the gospel of Christ to the millions who've never heard. So we want to be conscientious. I think we also want to be prepared, and that includes, I believe, either yourself or with your advisor, developing a written plan that lays out your investing strategy, one that reflects your personal goals and an appropriate level of risk, and even one that represents your values. You know, as you think about your investments, how do they reflect your values as a believer? That's really critical as you think about developing your plan. And then you need to understand how all parts of your portfolio fit together and the role that each plays. So don't let your buying and selling be dictated solely by your plan. You want to be an initiator, not a responder to the ever-shifting market news. Next, I would say be content. You know, a preoccupation with large profits can be dangerous. So as you draw up your plan, be reasonable in your financial ambitions. Surely more money is lost due to greed than any other single factor. And so accept the fact that annual gains of 8 to 10% over the long haul over time are more likely. Next, be diversified. Make sure your plan divides your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. That comes from Ecclesiastes 11:2. To be sure, higher profits can be made by concentrating your money in 1 or 2 opportunities, but staggering losses can be incurred as well. So avoid the temptation to concentrate your holdings so no loss will devastate you. And this is particularly true if somebody's trying to make up for lost time. They have a tendency to concentrate in 1 or 2 positions, or if you're investing in the company stock where you work. Oftentimes we can see folks do that in a way that allows them to get way too highly concentrated. So just think about the wisdom of God's word around diversification. Next is be patient. You know, taking your cue from the parable of the talents where the master was away for, quote, a long time, make your strategy a long-term one that aspires to build wealth slowly. And this will allow you to take up and down market cycles in stride. Here's the reality. Time is the enemy of the speculator, but it's the friend of the investor. So when time is on your side and you can be patient, a steady plotter, the Bible talks about, that's really the ultimate position to be in. And then finally, be accountable. Show your plan to a spouse or a trusted friend. Review it with them quarterly to see how you're doing and being faithful to follow it. And this is where having the help of an advisor, I think, can be critical, because now it's arm's length and they're not reacting emotionally like you may be tempted to do. And that accountability or even oversight to a fiduciary, someone who's tasked or charged with putting your best interests first, I think can be really critical. So taking these steps, folks, will, I think, help to assure that you're honoring the Lord and His priorities as you strike a wise balance between the risks and rewards of the marketplace. And then while these bear markets and economic storms may threaten, and they do from time to time, we're certainly experiencing that right now, you can be of good cheer. And for the Lord has said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. And don't we want to be that person as we think about handling God's money? All right, we're going to take our final break of the broadcast today. When we come back, we'd love to tackle your questions. The number today only as we move into our new studios and deal with just a few phone challenges is 888-589-8840. What's on your mind today, financially speaking? We'd love to get into it. Is it Social Security, where we started, investing, saving, or paying down debt? Whatever it might be, 888-589-8840 with lines open. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back and tackle your questions. Stay with us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio.
Today's issues.
I wouldn't be surprised, quite frankly, if you didn't have a self-confession in the next few hours, because the person that says, yes, I leaked it, will become a celebrity among the pro-abortion lefties, and they will be lauded and, you know, brought to speak at parades, sure, and all kind of things of that
probably
nature.
Get a show on MSNBC.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment of the broadcast today, we're going to take your calls and questions on anything financial. Today only, use 888-589-8840 as we move into our new AFR studios. We're working through some phone challenges, so we'll use that number today only. All right, let's head to the phones. To Texas we go. David, thank you for your call, sir. How can we help?
Oh, good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a thought. My wife and I are both retired. She's been a homemaker most of our married life. I'm almost 70, and she's a few years younger than that. We do not have any debt, including the house, and I'm retired from the Air Force, and we've invested over the years and currently have about $750 divided equally between our Roth and traditional IRA.
Yeah.
And in order to avoid, reduce the taxes on her if I should go home to be with the Lord first, I've been transferring annually about $50,000-$60,000 from the traditional to the Roth and paying the taxes at that time. My question is whether you might have any other thoughts about ways I might be able to speed that up.
Yeah, no, I think what you're doing is right. What did you say your age was, David?
I'll be 70 next year.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I like that strategy because as you begin converting more over to the Roth, it does a couple of things. Number one is you're paying the taxes now, which, you know, from a policy standpoint and just everything we know about where things are headed from the tax code, you know, I don't see us going any lower. In fact, there's a case to be made that, you know, the next move is going to be quite a bit higher. Obviously, that can change depending on, you know, depending on elected officials, but that's at least what we would expect. So I think from that standpoint, you going ahead and recognizing those taxes now, getting that into the Roth allows her to have that tax-free distribution down the road, and it allows her to leave that money right there if she doesn't need it and not be subject to the required minimum distribution. So I think, you know, that, you know, both of those in terms of, you know, taking advantage of our current tax rates and reducing the amount of the RMDs down the road is going to be beneficial for your wife. So I think the key is working with your tax preparer to determine what's the right amount annually. And it sounds like perhaps you've done that. What's the right amount annually to determine how much we push toward the Roth so we don't, you know, push a portion of this up into a higher tax bracket. And so that's why I think being methodical about that each year makes a lot of sense. So I would just say stay on that track until, you know, we were to see the tax rates, the marginal tax rates increase, and then I might just freeze it right where it is at that point. Now, when you reach 72 and you have to start taking the required minimum distributions, the other thing to consider is doing your giving out of that IRA. So that doesn't get recognized and added to your adjusted gross income and allows you through a qualified charitable distribution to give directly to a ministry or charity of choice and perhaps replacing what you would have been doing out of cash and getting that coming right out of the IRA. So I think I would just stay the course on what you're doing and then in a couple of years consider using that QCD.
Okay, so now if I understand that last part correctly, versus what we are doing now, we give the tithe out of the cash that we have on a monthly basis. What we could do instead when I reach the point where we have to retake the RMDs that we give out of have the RMDs go directly to.
That's right. Yeah. Through what's called a qualified charitable distribution, you would contact the custodian of the IRA, let them know you're looking to do a qualified charitable distribution. You would basically put in the information for your church to receive the funds. And as long as you send at least what your RMD is for that year, you're satisfying the RMD. Your church gets the full benefit of that money without any kind of reduction for taxes or capital gains. And not only are you satisfying the RMD, but you're getting that money out without adding it to your adjusted gross income for the year. So in a sense, everybody wins. And you could do that and replace the money you were giving out of cash, but it's now coming from the IRA.
Okay, so you can send the full amount of the RMD, but if let's say if it's 75% of the RMD, you can still send that and still get the tax benefit. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And then you would just have to make up that other 25% of the RMD
right
through a distribution. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Okay. All right. Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Very good, David.
Yeah.
God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Let's stay in Texas. Richard, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi, Rob. Richard from Texas. And first, I want to thank you so much for all the beneficial information you've been handing out for the last few months after Dan's passing. I used to go to Dan's seminars in Texas several times. I met Yvonne, and I know the whole family. So what a blessing AFR is. Second comment I have, I'm 88 years old. I've never had any credit card debt in my life. And I say that if you need to have a sign everywhere around your house, anywhere you're around, and anywhere you got your credit cards, never, never, never have credit card debt. Never, never, never have credit card debt.
Well, I appreciate so much that comment, Richard. I'll tell you, folks, heed Richard's counsel today. He has lived it. He's sharing testimony. And what God's word said is true. The borrower becomes the slave to the lender. And we know that changes the relationship. And we don't want to be slave to anyone save the Lord. So Richard speaks truth today. And obviously, he's experienced the benefit of not being in credit card debt. Unfortunately, as credit card debt rises in this country, as we see the economy slowing on the heels of this pandemic, we're seeing credit card debt levels approaching $1 trillion. Incredible. Boy, as God's people, we need to be moving toward getting out of debt, starting with our credit cards. And to Richard's point, if you're going to use a credit card for convenience or reward benefits, only use it for budgeted items. And if you can't pay it off in full, tear it up. So appreciate you weighing in on the program, sir. God bless you. Donna in Texas, thank you for calling. How can I help?
Yes, I have. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about Social Security and a pension. I am receiving a pension that is from a qualified domestic relations order, a quadro.
Yes. Uh-huh.
From a previous marriage, and it is a municipal employee pension. So it is, I guess, in a sense, a government pension that is just a portion that was awarded me through a divorce. And I am about to be ready to apply for Social Security at the end of this year. And I wanted to know, does this pension affect my Social Security?
Yeah, it should not. The qualified domestic relations order, as you know, is that court order that requires a portion of the retirement plan to be assigned to an individual. And, you know, that should really not have any bearing on the Social Security benefits that you are entitled to, either based on your own work record or based on a spousal benefit, even as you, you know, are divorced. So, you know, you should have the ability to collect you know, both of those without any problem.
Okay. Okay. Cool. And so that won't reduce the Social Security. Will this pension count as income? Because I am just slightly below the full benefit age. My age is 66 and a half, and I was going to start drawing at 65.
Yes. Yeah, it will be taxable to you, and so you will have to account for that.
As income, so
yes,
that
ma'am.
Would affect me being able to work somewhat while I'm still drawing Social Security. Okay, well, that helps quite a bit, and because someone had told me that if you have a pension, especially a government pension, it was going to reduce your Social Security amount. By
yeah.
two-thirds. And
well,
the
key is that, you know, it has to do with whether the pension is from an employer that withheld FICA taxes, and almost all do, and that in that case, it doesn't affect Social Security. So that would be the only question you want to ask. If that wasn't the case and no FICA taxes were withheld from contributions to that pension, then that's where something called the windfall elimination provision comes in. That's where you have non-covered jobs, but also you know, qualify for Social Security. And in that case, it could reduce it by up to 50%. So I think that would be the only question to ask, is whether the FICA taxes were withheld on that. So I'd probably do just a little bit of digging on that and see what you can find. But I suspect you're going to find that you're entitled to both and the full benefit of each. But I would take a look at that and ask some questions. Donna, we appreciate you getting in on the program today. God bless you very much. Sue in Ohio, I'm so sorry we're not going to be able to get to you. I'd love to invite you to be our first caller tomorrow. Pat will get your information. Maybe we can even reach out to you and get you back on the program. Thanks so much for calling today. Folks, it's been a delight to have you with us here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Thanks for working with us through just a few phone challenges today. You know, as we think about our role in handling God's money today, here's my thought. It's a high calling. We get to be the money manager for the King of Kings. The question is, if our money tells a story about what's important to us in terms of the way we handle it, are we happy with the story it's telling? And if not, maybe we need to make some changes. Well, we do that each morning as we gather together on this program, applying God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Hey, so thankful today for Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do this program without them. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here to do it all over again, and we'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.